The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a short little story that's recounted in our gospel, and I can think of at least three lessons that come out of it that will be particularly good to preach on. I might try to spare you one or two of those lessons today. Here we see, I think we struggle here with this reading. Even when we put it in context, we struggle with it. We struggle with what it is. And what it is that Jesus, God, has claimed a group of people for his own in order to bless them, right? He's called this group Israel to himself to be a people set apart from others. Now, we struggle with that exclusivity even today, that God would choose a certain group of people in a certain time for his own particular cause. And I know that we struggle with it, because I think that it also influences our struggle with it, influences some of our own theology. Because we could say, well, okay, we see this Jesus in the Gospels, who is the exclusive means of God's grace to people. So as to say, Jesus is the mediator. We read in the scriptures, Jesus is the mediator between God and man. If we're to come to God, we come through Jesus. And we then sit and struggle with that claim. We ask, well, what about everybody else? I guess assuming that we're following Jesus, right? Then we ask, what about everybody else? There are how many people in the world who are not Christian? We can look at the billion and change who are, but what about the people who are not? How is it that they are to encounter God? We struggle with that just teaching any number of classes over the past few years, 5 or 6 years, on Jesus, and having our students recognize, realize who Jesus is and what kind of exclusive claims are made in scriptures. They always jump to the defense of others. Say, well, what about everybody else? And then my question would be to them, well, is that something that God is putting on your heart? Why is it that, do you really care about everybody else? Or are you struggling with the claim, that exclusive claim that Jesus is the mediator between God and man? Because if we accept that, then our response is going to be, well, we ought to go out and bring other people in, rather than, you know, we will put that off to the side so that everybody else can kind of live in their own way and experience God as they choose, right? This is God who has chosen first Israel and now his new people Israel. Okay, so there's a lot of, I don't know, I'm losing everybody I can see. Maybe it's because it's hot, or maybe it's just because I'm talking in abstract terms here. Let's look at what happens in the story, right? The woman, the Canaanite woman, this is a woman who's not a Jew, comes to Jesus to ask him to heal her daughter. And Jesus says, I'm not here for you. I'm here for Jews. I'm here for Israel. That's what happens in the story. And that's true, because God brought Israel to himself. He called them out of the world for himself, so that he might be made known to all the nations through them. And that's the hidden part we don't get in the scriptures, is that the vocation of Israel, what Israel was always supposed to do, even though they were a special people, God wanted them to be the people through whom his love and grace, his mercy and forgiveness came to the world. So it wasn't for themselves that they were called to God, but it was, say, through them, for others, for the entire world, that God chose his people. And so Jesus, in the end, has no problem buckling to the woman's demands, because that's what was always meant to happen. She's just anticipating the event that would happen in Jesus' life that would bring God's rescue plan to the entire world, and that's Jesus' own death and resurrection. Right here, Jesus' disciples are struggling with the fact that he has to die. She's already looking forward to the resurrection. Like, yeah, okay, that's going to happen, so give me what's coming as a result of that. The same for us, right, is that we, for some time, and I think this is like, we would see ourselves as the church triumphant for some time. We think back, even though many of us weren't there, on the 1950s and say, very early 60s church, where this place would have been full, and we could have had probably five more masses on the weekend and still, say, fit everybody in. And there's this understanding that, you know, this is for us. Like, the church is a place for believers in that, say, somewhat exclusive sense, right? Like, so what is it then, and I should say, what this does for us is it forms us as customers. It forms us as consumers of a particular religious good. So we come here and say, like, what's in this for me? But in fact, the church exists, and each parish exists, as a particular outpost of God's mission to the world. So yeah, this is like the mess hall, right? We come and we eat. But say, armies don't exist for mess halls, they exist for missions. And just like us, we don't, say, exist for what happens simply in here. We exist for the outpouring of life that God wants to achieve through us into his world. So here we see, yes, God has chosen each and every one of you by virtue of your being here today, right? God has chosen each and every one of you to be gathered to himself. And yes, to experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness in his sight, right? He wants us formed here in the love of God to be and become more like Jesus. But it's not for its own sake, so that we can kind of sit around and say, you know, how nice it is for us to be Jesus, right? That's not the point. The point is that we be turned again outwards. Just as Jesus' mission does encompass the entire world, so today we pick up his mission, we pick up his ministry again. Inspired by the love of God, we too are sent forth now to all peoples to gather them together. Now here Jesus uses this image, right? We could talk about his calling a woman a dog if we want, but we don't want to. So we're going to look at the other half of that image, which is, don't take the food of children and give it to the dogs. The people of Israel were always known to be the children of God, and the food was theirs. Okay, I'm not going to encourage kids to feed dogs from the table, or even adults, right? It's not a good idea, feed dogs from the table. But what our task today, it's not feeding dogs from the table, it's inviting all peoples to that table. We do sit at that table. We do here, week on week, come to the table of plenty. We receive and consume the Lord, and we are consumed by him, so that we might go out and bring others to that great banquet. How can we increase our joy at that banquet but by bringing all peoples to it, that we might share in the same meal and the same food, the same love and joy of our being in the presence of Almighty God?